from Sacramento, California. We're very glad to have you with us today, and we ask that the Lord would bless the little words that we have to say today. I think that they're important, and I think that it's important for us to be able to get together at a time like this and for us to be able to share with one another and us to be able to share the Word of God. Even though we're in quarantine and we're self-isolating and whatnot, the Word of God goes everywhere. It doesn't matter where what we can pray to the Lord. It goes from here all the way to the throne of heaven. It can go to the lighthouse. It can go anywhere that we need it to go. So I want us to be encouraged that the Lord is here. The Lord has not forsaken us. He's with us still, even in the midst of all of the things that we're going through. I want to encourage you today that there is nothing greater than trusting the Lord for everything. He is the great I am. Whatever it is that we need, the Lord is that. And so I want to encourage you that way today, that the Lord would bless us and be with us. And my desire today as we visit about this is I want to know the Lord better. And I want to encourage each one of us to know the Lord better. One of the things that we talked about last Sunday was that we all have a story. And our particular story that we have is our responsibility is to tell that story to the world. That's why the gospel message is preached, it's taught. And once we have a clear understanding of that gospel message, our responsibility is to tell somebody about it. Now, the first response that we should do is to tell them about it with our lives. That's without words. What I want us to understand is we've got to live the life first in order for us to be effective in speaking about what the gospel message is all about. So the first thing that we do is that we, first of all, tell the world about Christ, how he changed our life, what he did for us, the difference. That's our story that we talked about a little bit last Sunday. That's our story, how the gospel applies to that. So first of all, we tell them with our lives, the way that we live. We don't live shoddy lives. We live morally upstanding lives. And the only way for us to be able to really do that is through the power and the grace of God. And then we tell them with our words. So it is the Christian responsibility. It is the responsibility of a Christian to introduce the world to Christ. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that means every person that we come in contact with, they need to know something about the gospel. There needs to be a residue of the gospel that spreads to that individual. It doesn't matter who it is, the person in the grocery store, a person on the campus of our schools, a person at our job sites and whatnot. They should have a clarity and an understanding that I just came in contact with somebody who knows the Lord. Now, one of the things that I often say, that most of the people, we have heard people that name drop all the time. We've heard people say, you know, they knew Oprah Winfrey, or they knew the president, or they knew somebody. They would some kind of way weave that into the conversation. People do that. That's just the way that we do. There's something about human nature that if there's somebody that's great or grand, or that the world considers to be great or grand, we know them, we some kind of way weave that into our conversation. And so in the same way, there is something about us that we know the greatest person that ever lived on this side of eternity, the greatest person that ever lived, we have a personal relationship with him. We know him. We know him personally. We know him by name. He knows our names. And so when we do that, our responsibility is, when we have that clarity and that understanding, our responsibility is to tell the world about it. Some kind of a way, as the Lord will allow us to, and I know we don't just come in and just let everybody know, you know, be blatant and whatnot about it, or obnoxious about it. But what we can do is we can weave that into the conversation some kind of a way. And the Lord wants us to do that. That's the introduction that the Lord has for us. So the better we know a person, the more clearly and coherently we can introduce that person to others. So the whole point is, if only way that you know Christ is that you come to church and you spend an hour and a half at service every Sunday, and that's the gist of the time that you spend with the Lord, you don't know him very well. There is a requirement that the way that you know a person, and oftentimes I remember as a young man that was looking for someone to marry. My responsibility was to go and find that person that was attractive to me and the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And then after I found that person, there was a little awkwardness at the very beginning of the introduction. We knew each other and there was a little nervousness and whatnot. But at some point we became very comfortable to the point that I know her. After 36 years, I know her better than I know anybody else in the world. I can explain to you. You can give me a scenario, a situation. in life, and I can explain to you just about what she would do. And I would be 99% accurate because I know her. And in the same way, the more we spend time with the Lord, the more we know him. And then the more that we know him, the more we know how he's going to respond in various situations and circumstances that we're confronted with, because he's our friend. He's the one that has the ability to help us in the midst of troubles, in the midst of times when we don't know what to do. We know that we can go to the Word of God, and we can spend some time in the Word of God, and he opens it up, and he gives us a clarity and an understanding. He gives us scripture, and what we understand is, how do we get to know people? We know them by talking to them, don't we? We know them by having a conversation with them. And so the Lord wants to invite us to have a conversation with him, not just on Sunday morning, not just as a spectator sport. Oftentimes we come to church, and it's kind of like a spectator sport. We come, and the choir sings, the congregation sings, and we're not really participating in it very much. And we're not, the preacher gets up and he preaches a message about prayer, about God, about something where he weaves and lets us know what Jesus Christ will do. And then we go home and we checked our box, and we don't have to do that again until next Sunday. Being a Christian is more than that. That's not just what it's about. It's more than that. And God wants you to know that it's more than that. He wants you to know that it's everything. It's the central point of our lives. It's what our lives revolve around. And I say to people oftentimes, I say the most important decision a person can ever make, and this is a true statement, whether people believe it or not, it's a true statement. The most important decision a person can ever make is whether or not they're going to live for the Lord. Because it has implications, not just here, where it changes your life. That's a great implication. My life has changed. Your people's lives that are changed. I've seen people that were drug addicts and people that were in very horrible condition where that the Lord has lifted them up because they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. One scripture tells us, it says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. We are at peace when we know the Lord. All right? So we know the Lord because he introduces himself to us, and then he has people that introduce themselves, him to us. Now, one of the most important things that we need to understand is that when we are introduced to someone by another person, then that person that does the introduction has some influence on our perception of the person that they're introducing. So what do I mean by that? I mean by that that if I say, this is my friend, and this is the person that I want you to meet, he's a good friend of mine, whoever it may be, then you're going to, and you know me, then you're going to I'm going to influence how you look at that person. And you're going to look at my life. You're going to look at what kind of character I have, what kind of person that I am. And then that is going to transfer to some degree over on this person. Well, if they're his friend and this is kind of how he is, then I'm assuming that this person right here is much like that. So see how important it is for us to have a right kind of spirit and a right kind of attitude as we introduce the world to Christ. Because if we're living shabby and shoddy lives, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that transference is going to go on. If that's how a Christian is, have you ever heard people say that? Well, if that's the way Christians are, then I don't want to be a Christian. I've heard about people laying down their Christianity for a moment. Let me take care of this. I'll lay down my Christianity for a moment, and then I'll pick it back up. But that's not how a true Christian is. Now, I want to also go, I'm going to read some scriptures here. I want us to have a clarity and an understanding that there are certain characters and there are certain attributes that we're looking for in a person that we want to know a little bit better. And the way for us to find those characters and those traits is for us to spend some time with them. Now, one thing I'd like to say also is there's something generally when we're wanting to know a little bit more about an individual, there's something generally that's attractive about that person. We can say things like, oh, well, they have a great personality. They have a great sense of humor, and I love people with great senses of humor. And then we can say things like, they're got a good attitude, and I like people that have positive attitudes. They're carefree. Whatever it is, there's something about that person that appeals to us, and so we want to get to know them better. But we also want to show a balance, because that person that's got a good sense of humor doesn't laugh all the time. There's another side of it. There are things when life happens to that individual. And when life happens to that individual, there can be some very difficult times. They cry, all right? And then there, that person that is carefree, they get anxious about something. One of the things that we can say, I don't care how carefree you are and how carefree your personality is, right now during this pandemic, this coronavirus thing, though there are some people that are not as carefree as they were before because life happened. And so there are things that change. There are things that they're going to have to adjust to. And so the reason that I think that that is important is because there is one side that we often say, oh, the Lord is wonderful. Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that ever walked the earth. And that is absolutely true. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He's gentle. He's caring. All those things are true. But then there's another side of him as well. And so we don't want to show forth, when we introduce Christ, we don't want to show forth a caricature of who he is. So if we exaggerate one point and we minimize another point, then it's a caricature. It's not an accurate picture of who the Lord really is. So the first thing, our first responsibility is to know him for ourselves. We know him. And once we know him, then we can give a balanced view of who he is to others. All right? So you realize that there are people, and I want to read a couple of scriptures, and I want to go to the Philippians, the third chapter, and I want to start reading the third verse. This is talking about the Apostle Paul. We know Paul's story, and he's going to weave his story in as he's talking to the Philippians. He's going to weave his story into that, what happened to him, and to the gospel message, and that's what we do as well. I'm going to start with the third chapter of Philippians, the third verse, and it says, and we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, you know what Paul just explained to us here in this particular passage of Scripture? And he's telling the story to the Philippians. He's going to go on down. He's going to tell us a little bit more. But what he's telling us is, I was a very religious man. I was one of the Pharisees. I knew everything about it. I did the law of Moses. I knew it by heart. I knew what to do. I knew all the laws, all the commandments, all the things, thou shalt not this, and I did all of those things. But you know, to know the Lord is more than that. It's not just about religion. It's about having a personal relationship with the Lord. It's about knowing him for yourself, knowing who he is, what he is, what he stands for. So Paul was a very religious man, and Paul didn't know Christ. He didn't know him at all. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Jewish man that went by the thou shalt not, all the do's, all the don'ts. He was blameless in the law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So what that means is, man, I was a man's man. You heard people say that I was a man's man. So that means he's very macho. That means I'm very macho. Well, this guy was saying to him, Paul is saying here in this particular passage of Scripture, he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Everything that they did, I crossed all my T's. I dotted all my I's. There was nothing that I did not do. So he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and concerning the law, I was blameless. I did everything like I was supposed to do, but he didn't know Christ. He did not know the Lord. If you go into Acts, I believe the ninth chapter, where it speaks about where he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the Lord knows where you are. He knows right where you are. He knows where to intercede and intervene for you. So Paul is on the road to Damascus. He's going there. He's got letters from the elders and whatnot, and he's going to persecute the church. This is what he's talking about. I'm going to persecute the church. But then there was an introduction. There was an introduction, and he saw this great light, and it was Christ, the risen Christ. Not just Christ, but the risen Christ. And Christ presented himself to Paul. Now, most of us won't have such a dramatic introduction, if any of us did. I didn't have such a dramatic introduction, but I had an introduction to the point that I had a clarity and an understanding that this is God talking to my heart, and I've got to do something about it. There's something that the Lord speaks to us. He makes it where he doesn't just leave it for somebody else. He starts the introduction, but at some point, you know, the people that introduce you to the one that you love, at some point you want them to move out of the way, and you want to get to know intimately this person that you love. So at some point, well, I don't know who introduced me to my wife, but when they introduced me, at some point I went, okay, thank you. I appreciate the introduction. Now you can go and let me take it over from here. Well, that's how we should do with the Lord. So me as a pastor, as a preacher, my responsibility is to introduce you to Christ. And when I introduce you to Christ, at some point you have to understand his attributes, understand his character, and be intrigued by knowing a little bit more about him, having an understanding of who he is a little bit more. And then at that point you say, all right, Brother Darrell, I appreciate the introduction. Now let me take over from here. I want to get to know the Lord in a greater way. So you can be a very religious person going to church, going to synagogue, or wherever you go. You can go on a regular basis. and still not know the Lord. That's the situation that Paul had. It's a tragic situation, but it's the situation that Paul had. So he continues. I'm just continuing down in the seventh verse. He says he counts all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In other words, I finally found out who he was. I had seen it. And he said, one of the things that the Lord said to Saul on the road to Damascus, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, what does that mean? That means that as you were stoning Stephen was the first martyr, and Paul was there watching the people as they stoned him because of his story and his presentation and introduction of the gospel message. Paul was there, and Paul saw Stephen's life. So Paul saw that as Stephen was being stoned to death, there was something that was greater that Stephen had that Paul didn't quite understand. And so Stephen looked up toward heaven and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't have a clarity and an understanding of what they're doing and how it's affecting them. And then he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, that has some impact on Stephen, on Paul's life. So now the Lord is saying to Paul, you know that I was talking to you when Stephen was being stoned. Paul, you know that I spoke to you, and as Stephen introduced you to me, you said, I don't have anything to do with this guy. This is not somebody that I want to serve. And so what you did, and this is what people do sometimes, when they don't want to do what God tells them to do, they get really busy doing religious stuff. They do a lot of busy things that really has no impact on them getting closer to the Lord. This is what Paul was doing. So Paul was very zealous. And what his determination was, we're going to strike out this whole Christian message. So I'm going to get everybody that calls them their names, that calls themselves a Christian, and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to destroy them. And you know what Paul was really trying to do? He was trying to silence the little voice in his heart. He was trying to silence that. He was trying to, in one sense, the harder I work on this thing, the more silent this thing becomes. Because I'm working. I'm doing God's work. But God is not interested in you doing this work. God is interested in you living for him. God is interested in you knowing him. And then from that standpoint, from the foundation or the platform of knowing the Lord, is when you do his work. So Paul couldn't do the Lord's work if he didn't know him. So the first thing that the Lord wanted Paul to understand is, Paul, I want you to get to know me. And so there's going to be a cost to it. All right? There's going to be a cost to getting to know the Lord. Right? So here he says, count all these things, but these things which were gained to me, this is the seventh verse of the third chapter of Philippians. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, I'm not all the things, I was this great man, and he had to have some level of influence and authority, because he could go to the chief priest and get letters to be able to destroy the Christian influence. That was his whole purpose and his whole aim. But then when he met the Lord, there was a change of perspective. One of the things that Paul said in the ninth chapter of Acts, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but you can read that on your own. One of the things that he said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against that pricks. So in other words, you've already met me. He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. So I've never met him before. This is what Paul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, you've met me through the people that you've persecuted. And when you're persecuting those people, Paul, you're persecuting me. When they spoke, when Stephen spoke, when the other ones that you took to jail, when they spoke of me, when they spoke of me. Why? Because they're part of my body. And Paul had that understanding in the back of his mind. He did not want it to come to the forefront. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll have that understanding in the back of our mind. Maybe the Lord's requiring one more thing of us, and I don't really want to do that. I've been there. I don't want to give you the impression that everything that the Lord has ever instructed me to do that has been, oh, yes, I'm really excited about doing this particular thing God has required of me. No, there are times in my experience that I don't want to do it. But then I have to look at it and I have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace. I have to pray. I have to seek the Lord. Give me the grace to do what you would have me to do. Let's go a little further for the sake of time. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things that I do count but dung. Why? Because I may win Christ. When you really get to know the Lord, everything else, all the things of this life, they begin to fade. They become dull. That really is a true statement. And if the things of the world have not begun to fade, then you don't know him like you need to know him. All right? Now, I understand we live in a world, and our responsibility is to do what we have to do and to enjoy. The Lord gives us the ability to enjoy life. And I want to enjoy life, and I want you to enjoy life. But let me tell you what I've learned in my own experience. I've learned that the only way to truly enjoy life is to know the Lord first. And then he can show you what really matters. Have you ever eaten something? Have you ever thought it was, you know, you've heard the night after, and you had a lot of fun at the party, and everything was just like you wanted to do, and then after you got home the next day, this is people's stories. That wasn't so fun after all. You did some stupid stuff. That you embarrassed yourself, you embarrassed your family, now you're upset about what's going on. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what? When you come to know the Lord, you don't have to deal with that. Fun is fun. And it's clean fun. It's moral. It's what we should do. And that's what the Lord wants us to understand, that it's not all about enjoying this world. It's enjoying Christ. And then when Christ becomes the center, then everything else becomes we put everything else in the proper perspective. So it was worth it for him to lose everything just so that he could have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Now, is it worth it for you to lose everything so that you can have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ? Do you want to know it? Do you really want to know it? Do you really want to know it? Then there are going to be some requirements that you're going to have. You know, one of the things that I've learned in a relationship, in any relationship, it doesn't matter whether it's a husband, wife, whether it's friends, there are expectations in that relationship. Each person comes there with a level of expectation, all right? Let's go a little farther. And one of the expectations of that is that the people want, I want you to know me. I want you to know who I am. I want you to understand, if you're in a hard time, I'm going to be there for you, and I want you to know that. We say that to our friends, don't we? We say that to our families. They understand that. They know who to call when situations aren't as they should be. Who's going to give you the support? Pick up the phone. We call them. All right, I'm going to go a little further here. He was longing to know the Lord. And he said, and this is the ninth verse, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why? That I may know him. I may know him. That's what my whole aim and my whole ambition. Now, we understand that this was Paul's story, that he began to tell the story of how he met the Lord in essence. And then he began to tell the story of what his life was before. And all of this is part of the gospel. It makes it a little bit more relatable to us. A person is kind of one that's a very religious person, and there's still something missing. I heard about a story, and I'm paraphrasing it, so don't take it for gospel here. But I want us to understand, Mother Teresa was a very devout woman. She was a very devout Catholic woman. But I remember reading something, and I won't get it exactly right, but one of the things that she felt like at the end, there was some concern, there was a question mark in her mind as to whether or not she would meet the Lord without any problems. We can know him now. We don't have to be a religious, devout person and still not know the Lord. That's the point that we want to make. So he says here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So what does that mean? That means that there are going to be some requirements that God makes of me. One is that I am going to have to know him, the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? That means that he was dead and now he's risen again. And what is the importance of that to me? The importance of that to me is I was once dead in sin. I didn't like how my life was. I didn't like the direction that my life was going. I remember those times. I remember those times not liking myself, not liking who I was, not liking who I was becoming. Now, I did give my heart to the Lord at a young age, but let me tell you, I was really started living right in college, my freshman year in college. I was 19, 20 years old, but I tell you what I can see. You don't know this, but I saw the trajectory of my life. I didn't have to live the trajectory of it. I saw it. I saw the direction that I was going, and the Lord spoke to me just like I'm speaking to you. The Lord spoke to me and said, don't go that way. It's not going to happen like the way you want it to go. It's not going to be like you want it to be. And that's when I began to pray, and I began to seek the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you an opportunity to help me out. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, I knew it was the Lord talking to me. Yes, I've been raised in the church all of my life, but
I didn't know the Lord. I had gone to Sunday school. I'd gone to young people's meetings. I'd gone to church. Sometimes I didn't want to. Sometimes I wanted to fake a stomach ache so I didn't have to go to church. I was that person too. And then I got to know the Lord. And then when I got to know the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to give you the 6 months. That's my mind. I'm going to give you 6 months. See what happens in 6 months. And then I began to get to know him. I began to understand what his requirements were of me. And I began to understand that, you know, this ain't half bad. I see now the trajectory of my life. And one of the trajectories I didn't see prior was I was going to be preaching at some point. But I knew the Lord wanted that in my life. And so I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm thankful for what he's shown me and how faithful he has been to me. All right, and it says, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. So it's not do's and don'ts. It's not, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's the mistake that so many people have about Christianity. Oh, y'all can't do this and y'all can't do that. We can do anything we want to do. We really can. The Lord just takes the want to out of our hearts. When you have met someone that you're in a relationship with, that doesn't mean that you, a young man or a beautiful woman, that doesn't mean you won't see somebody that is beautiful, maybe more beautiful than the one that you have, but you have no desire for that person. You know why? Because this other person has won your heart. This other person is the one that you are in a relationship with, and you want nothing else. That's what's important. May the Lord help us to understand that. Moving right along. All right. So there was this longing that Paul had to know the Lord. Longing that I may know him. I want to know him. Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and then I'm going to have to be made conformable unto his death. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, right? We have a lot of Twitters and followers and whatnot. You know, those are superficial things. But when it comes to following Christ, it is not superficial. There's going to be some death. There's going to be some dying that we're going to have to die to. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to do. There's that part of that relationship. One of the relationships that when a husband, a man proposes to a wife, there's an expectation that she has that he's going to go to work every day. And it may not be that he wants to, but he's going to go to work. If you have children, there's this expectation that he's going to care and stay there for the children. The hard times, the difficult times, he's going to be there. There's this expectation. There's this expectation when we get to know the Lord that he has expectations of us as well. We'll move right along. I want to go to the Matthew, the 16th chapter. I want to read the 13th verse. It says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I'll give you time to read that, to find that. All right, so it says here, Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now there are a lot of people that are going to say a lot of things about Christ. There are some people, there are some religions that say, oh, he was a good prophet, but we don't believe that he was the Son of God. He was a good man, but we don't believe that he's the Son of God. And so here's what was happening. There's nothing new under the sun. It was happening back in Jesus' day. It's happening in our day to day. And so how do we respond to that? How do I respond to somebody saying, who do men say that I am serving? Well, you're serving. It's the opiate of the people. You're just doing this because you're this Christian because that's what everybody's popular today. Well, it's less popular today than it ever was in our lifetime. And so we're going to have to stand by what we believe and understand what we believe and get to know the Lord a little bit better. So he says, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. You understand that you're a good man. There's something wonderful about it. There are a lot of people that say there's a lot of good things about Christianity. Oh, Christianity is good and it helps people and all these kinds of things, but it's equal to all the other religions, they say. That's not accurate. As a Christian, it is an exclusivity from all other religions. Oh, Brother Darrell, now you lost everybody. No, it's true. As one of the prerequisites of Christianity, you have to believe that there's one God and one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, I'm saying that there are some good things about various other people, but I want to know the Lord for myself. And once you know the Lord for yourself, you have a clarity and an understanding that there's just one God. Oh, we're all serving the same God. Now, I don't have time in this this discourse to get to all of that, but we have to understand that this is the word of God. It means something, and it is powerful, and it works, and it's unlike any other religion. And you can write me, you can say whatever you want to about it, but there is an exclusivity about Christianity that excludes everything else, right? Well, that's true. If you're going to be a true Christian, that's what it is. No apologies, all right? Now, so this he says, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, the only way that I know that is that it's been revealed to me. It's been revealed that there's a lot of good things about maybe a lot of other people. Maybe there are even good things about other religions. But there's a revelation that I have to have of who Jesus Christ is, and I cannot be tainted by what the world is saying out there. Just because the popular voice and great voices that we all come together, I don't dislike anyone. But our responsibility is to know the Lord for ourselves. And once we know him for ourselves, we understand that there's one God and there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. We understand that. All right, let's go a little further here. Looking a little further, closer to our conclusion here. Trying not to hold you too long. What are the people saying? What are they? So our responsibility is, don't just follow people. Don't just follow them. Don't just follow me. I tell people, listen, you take the scriptures that I've written down and you study the word for yourself. You know the Lord for you. And then if you find something that I've said that is not right, feel free to come to me. I give that liberty to every person that I minister to. You can come to me and you can tell me that this is not right. But let me tell you, I want you to have all your ducks in a row and understand that this is what God is requiring of us. So the Lord reveals himself to us. He reveals himself. And he makes himself known to us through revelation. Now, and when we see the Lord, now what I've heard in many, many situations is, I don't go to church. And the reason I don't go to church is there's too many hypocrites. Everybody hypocrite in church. Well, do you know what? When you have lived a shoddy life, if you live a shoddy life, if Christians live a shoddy life, and I'll tell you a situation that happened to me several years ago. This is with all the televangelists. I've been preaching for several years, but when all the televangelists were having issues in their own lives, they were falling, and you know, you'd find out one had this issue, another had another issue. I remember saying something to a person. I said, you know what, you can trust me, I'm a preacher. And you know what her response to me was? Those are the worst kind. Now, why did she say that? She said that because the people that were introducing Christ to the world, those people had problems. And so the transference of those people's shoddy lives and the way that they were living transferred to everybody that was wanting to know Christ. And it was hindering this woman from believing that someone that really did know him was going to live right. He was going to live according to the way he's living, according to the way the Lord wanted him to live. But the preachers are the worst kind. I've heard that. We've all heard that. Hypocrites at church and all those kinds of things. Don't be a hypocrite. You don't have to be. Because God can give you the power and the grace not to be. And I thank the Lord for that. Okay, so our personal introduction, when we introduce people that we knew, their perception is affected. Their perception of the one that we introduce is affected by their perception of us. All right? So we influence how people see Christ. We influence. And this is why I say it's the most important thing, first of all, is to introduce him by the way we live. Then introduce him with words. It'll be a lot easier that way. I've had situations, and I'm sure all of us have, we've had situations where people said, you know, you didn't know they were a Christian, and I put that in air quotes, that you didn't know they were a Christian until they told you, because their lives didn't reflect it. May our lives reflect the way that we live. All right, couple of the scriptures I want to read. One was in Job, the 42nd chapter. Job, the 42nd chapter, and the 5th verse. It says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I pour myself and repent in dust and ashes. So now he is saying, Job had this idea of who God was, this perception of who God was. And then all of a sudden, now he sees God. God reveals himself to Job. We're talking about the way that we see the Lord is the Lord reveals himself to us. And Job saw this, and he says, now I repent, I abhor myself, I see who I am. You know, oftentimes when the Lord introduces himself to us, he also introduces us to us. He introduces me to myself. He lets me see what kind of a man I really am, not kind of man I think I am. But then that perception changes. My perception my perception has to be recalibrated from who I am. Most of us think too highly of ourselves. We think that we're great. We think that we're grand. And the Lord wants to say, you have issues. You got problems. And we need to recalibrate that. Because now we're getting ready to go into a relationship. You know who tells each other about their problems, and we can say it. You know, some people are hurt by what other people say about them, even though it might be true. But when we're in a committed relationship, that person can tell us about ourselves because we're not afraid. That's a safe place for them to tell us that you got problems. And you always do this when you're in, but you know that person is not going to desert you. And so you listen. You may defend yourself. You may decide, oh, that's not true. And you want to put on this strong face and say, no, that's not how I am. Yes, it is. It's exactly how you are. Generally speaking, when somebody comes in and they tell you something, even if they say it in anger, generally there's a truth to that particular thing that we need to listen to it. All right? We need to understand that person knows me. So now what you're doing, I want to bring another scripture in to bring this in. This is Isaiah the 6th chapter. I'm going to paraphrase that. Isaiah the 6th chapter. I'm going to paraphrase it here. This is when Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in his throne, setting upon his throne. And you can go to that, the first verse of the 6th chapter of Isaiah. And then what he said he heard the seraphims, and they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the whole earth is full of his glory. And then what happened is Isaiah began to say, he said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, what I want to say to this is oftentimes when the Lord reveals himself to us in a great way, then there is something about us that he reveals about us. Does that make sense to you? So in other words, he reveals us to us. He let this prophet see himself and see who he was and see that he was a man of unclean lips and dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So now there's this recalibration of who they think they were, who Job thought he was. A pretty good man. The Lord gave a testimony of Job. Isaiah here, a pretty good man. The Lord gives this ability for them to see him. Now they see themselves. You know that's important to us, because here's why we need to know that. We need to know that we have issues and we have problems, and there are things that we need the Lord to do for us, and we can't do them in and of ourselves. The reason we need to know that is because we're getting ready to have a committed relationship with somebody that is perfect. I want you to understand that. This is a person that is perfect. And then you need to see, and as the introduction goes, you need to see that there are issues that you have, there are problems that you have in your own character. You already know that there are things about us that we don't like. There are things about us, I wish I wasn't so, you fill in the blank. Now, does that mean that because there are some people that want to preach grace, that want to say, oh, we're just all sinners, and we are sinners, but the Lord wants to lift us out of that sin, right? And so we want people to understand, we want them to understand that, we want them to understand that the Lord's going to take care of us. The Lord is here for us. And here's the thing, that we recalibrate. I want to say, I lost my thought for a moment. I want to recalibrate who I think I am, because I'm getting ready to go into this committed relationship with a perfect person. Now, we can't say that with our relationship with our spouses. We can't say that with our relationship with our friends. They have issues, we have issues, and we have to work through those issues. But now the Lord is long-suffering. He's going to work through those issues too. He's going to talk to us about issues that we're dealing with. And he's going to tell us what we need to do about those issues. And it's going to be up to us whether or not we are honest. We're honestly going to look at our problems. We're going to honestly look at what's wrong with us. And the Lord is not saying, I'm not accepting these things. I'm just being long-suffering with you. Until you come to a point that you can understand. It's like a little child. When there's a little child, he can't wash the dishes, but you're long-suffering when they stand up on the little stool and they wash the dishes and there's still a whole bunch of suds and whatnot in there. You let them put it in the dish rack anyway, or you teach them, well, let's wipe this off a little bit better, and you're long-suffering. But when they're 15 and they're doing that, you have a problem with it. When they're 18 and they're still doing the same thing that they did when they were 3, unless there's some developmental issue, you have a problem with it. And you tell them, this is when all that sweet, gentle mother, y'all, all of us have the mother, our mother's so nice, she holds us in our bosom, but then you know what? There's the other side of mama. There's this other side of mama that mama said, look, I told you to clean up your room, and you ain't did that yet. I told you to wash those dishes. You didn't do that. All that loving mother, let's see the other side of mama. Go give me the bell. You remember we used to have to go get switches out in the, we get them switches and we get the little skinny one. They make us go out and get some more. Or they find their own. That was the other side. You know, there's two sides of the Lord too. He wants us to see him holy. Now, all right, so I want us to understand the reason that our minds need to be recalibrated is because sin gives a distortion of our perception of ourselves, and it gives us a distortion of our perception of God. One of the things that we say, God is our father, and if you had a bad father, then that's not going to be a very good analogy of God. You're not going to, well, when I come in, he's drunk, and he's going to beat me, I've got to be afraid of him. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to see him for who he is. A couple other things that we want to make. So what we want, other points that we want to make. Christians must give an accurate portrait of the Lord, not a caricature. So a caricature is a cartoon view, something that's exaggerated about him. He's always gentle. He's wonderful. Yes, he is. But then there's the severity. Behold the goodness and severity of God. So we need to see, just like our mother. Is my mother determined? Was she determined by the times that she whipped me? No. Do I describe her in that light? No. Anybody that knew her, she was a gentle person. But she also required obedience. And if we didn't obey, then she let us know. She was very merciful, but she let us know. And then it was our responsibility to do something different about it. One of the things that she never required out of 11 children, she never required me to do something that was beyond my capability of doing. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord never requires us to do anything beyond our capability of doing. Now, in closing, I'd like to make 4 points for us to get to know the Lord better. All right? The first one is word. You can know a lot about a person by their words. You know their character, their attitude, their attributes, their likes, their dislikes. You know, on Twitter, I'm not much of a tech guy, but Twitter, a few words that tells a whole lot about. And some people don't need to go on Twitter and say certain things. You know that. I know that. All of us know that. Some people go on Facebook. You learn all these kinds of things about their word. But do you know what? This is the word of God. Learn the word of God. It was actually the scripture talks about it being made flesh and dwelt among us. This is Christ. This is the word of God. This is the gospel message. So know the word. So the more that we know the word, the more we can know who Christ is. The second thing is meditation. Think about what it said. Think about the word. Think about what when you read something in the word. Think about what it said. We often do that. Somebody, we have a conversation with somebody, maybe something sometime that somebody said that was wonderful and it encouraged us. We think about that. We come back, we meditate on it. I sure appreciate so-and-so saying this about me. It was nice. It made me feel good about myself. All those kinds of things. And then we also we think about what people say. We meditate on what people say when they say something that hurts our feelings. Why did they say that? I didn't do anything that would make them say that about me. And then why did they say that? So I think about that. And I meditate and I respond to that person by what they said, right? And I think about and I respond by what they said. In the same way, so the first thing, know the word, and then meditate upon the word. So there are going to be some things that the Lord tells you that you need to do, and there are going to be some things the Lord's going to tell you you don't need to do. The third thing is self-examination. Know yourself. Know that you have issues. And know that the Lord is trying to change you. He's trying to, there's not a person here that is listening to the sound of my voice that the Lord does not want to adjust. No one. The only perfect person that ever walked the face of this earth is Jesus Christ. The other perfect person, there are others that the Lord brought to a level of their perfection. And what I want to say about perfection, just quickly, is according to our understanding. So if you have perfect understanding, you're in the kindergarten, you get all of your ABCs together, that's perfect. But if you're in the 12th grade and that's all you're doing, that's not perfection. So once we know to do, we have to do, all right? And then the last thing is pray. It works. Prayer works. It's our communication line with the Lord. And when you get a little down, when things are not going the way that, plug into the Lord. That's our source of energy, our source of strength. Pray. Seek the Lord about that. And it is a connection with the Lord. Through prayer, the Lord can change you. You can't change you. I can't change me. I can't change my issues. But you know what? I can get down on my knees and I can pray. And I can say, Lord, these things are affecting the people that are around me. The kind of person that I am is affecting the people that are around me. If you're always doing something that is making people upset, the problem isn't the people. The problem is you. And the Lord wants to change you. And the Lord can change you. And the Lord can change the people. And he can change your circumstances. You can. Sometimes we feel like we want to. Sometimes we feel like, oh yeah, I can change the circumstances by talking. Stop. Be quiet. Don't let anyone hear you keep talking.
what you need to do is talk to the Lord. And when you talk to the Lord, he understands who you are, where you are, and what you are. I appreciate that. My desire today is for you and me and all of those that are under the sound of my voice would get to know the Lord better, get more acquainted with him. Pray for me. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for, and give us the invitation to know who you are, what you are, what you mean to us. We ask you that you bless this word that's gone forth, that it would be to your glory and honor, that you would be glorified with every person that looks at it, every person that watches it, every person that hears it. We ask you that you would just bless us all together. Help us open the door. Introduce us to yourself. Help us to know you better. Help us as Christian, the saints of God, help us to get to know how to introduce you. First of all, with the way that we live, and second of all, with the words that we speak. May you bless us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This concludes our live stream. We thank you so much for your attention. May the Lord bless you.